Have a seat, everybody. Welcome to South Lansing Christian Church. My name is Frank. I'm the preacher here. I'm glad you guys are here today. We're starting a new series of sermons. I'm really excited about that. The series is called Social Media, and we're going to talk about how we can get the me out of social media. And I wanted to start this morning by sharing a new toy that I got with you all. This is the Marshmallow Extreme Blaster. I think the way this works is as soon as you put the word extreme on the box, you can charge more. This isn't merely the marshmallow blaster. This is the marshmallow extreme blaster. That's right. And when my kids were little, we had these marshmallow guns. You remember those, Jonah, that we got at a flea market made out of half-inch PVC. And what you do is you'd put a little mini marshmallow in that, and then it was like a blowgun. You'd do that, and you'd shoot it at people, right? This is an extreme marshmallow blaster. You got a dude back there making a target, and you think I can't get there. You're wrong. Yeah, this is no, and here's what's also great about this, is I can buy this and I can expense it as a sermon illustration. So that's, you got that going for you. You see all the students back there? Hey, pay attention. Oh, look out. Oh, I apparently didn't put enough air in that one. And what's also great about this is, where's Walter at? Because when I'm done, I can donate this to the student ministry, and it's like a two-for-one. I'm gonna hit you, man. You got your hand up there. Open your mouth. See if you can catch this in your mouth. You ready? Here we go. Here, this is for Luke back there. You all in the line of fire, just be aware. All right? Okay. There it is. Luke. Oh! Luke's gone home. Luke's parents today are like, "What'd you do at church today?" Preacher shot marshmallows at my face. It's all good, man. Your face shouldn't have been there. No, seriously, that's just a lot of fun. But why am I shooting marshmallows at you today? Because I think that too often we treat words like they're marshmallows. We just shoot them out of there, and we don't think they're going to do any damage. But words aren't like marshmallows. Words are more like rocks than marshmallows. Imagine a rock this size being shot at that velocity. A marshmallow this size, you know, it just maybe makes you sticky. Somebody's going to have to clean up the floor back there, right? In first service, I almost hit a light. I was afraid we're going to have marshmallow dripping down on people, right? It's annoying. A marshmallow is annoying, but a rock this size can do some real damage. That's because a rock has greater density. You remember your science classes? And because it has greater density, if a rock hits you going this fast, it can do some real damage, just like words. We learned a nursery rhyme when we were growing up. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. The thing is, we all know that's not true. Words can harm people. Words do harm people. You've started school already. Your kids are back in school. And so I'm imagining that some of you have already had to have a conversation just a month into the school year. But you've probably already had to have a conversation with someone. Maybe it was your kid, or maybe it was your granddaughter, maybe your nephew. You've had to have a conversation because somebody said something really unkind at school. You're having to help them understand why people can sometimes say unkind things. Or maybe you've had to have a conversation with your son or daughter about his speech or her speech. And you're trying to help your kids or your grandkids understand that our words have consequences, that they have weight. Words have a powerful mass. Words have mass. Not a marshmallow, not much mass in a marshmallow, but words have mass. And because they have mass, they're governed by the formula for momentum. Back to high school physics class, right? Maybe you remember the formula for momentum. I had to look it up. It's momentum is equal to mass times velocity. Words already have mass. They're more like a rock than they are like a marshmallow. They already have mass. But what social media has done is it has exponentially increased the velocity of words so that now our words can have more momentum than ever before in history and consequently can do more damage than we ever thought possible. My marshmallow gun shoots at 40 feet per second. I didn't set up a chronometer. That's what the box said. It shoots at 40 feet per second. A rock going 40 feet per second when it hits you is going to hurt. But social media can go miles in milliseconds. It might surprise you that the Bible has a lot to say about our words. Whether you're a Christian or not, there's incredible practical advice in Scripture that helps us understand the impact that our words have and how we can, you know, just correctly speak. How we can use our words for positive ways instead of negative ways. James was the brother of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. James was Jesus' brother, and he said this in James, the book that's named after him, James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And you know what really strikes me about that text? What strikes me is that James wrote that text in a time when if you wanted to distribute someone's words, you had to do so in a painstakingly slow way. For James' words to be distributed, someone had to look at the original manuscript, and they had to copy each letter down by hand onto a new piece of parchment, and then manually carry those to some other place. That was the only way to distribute words at the time, what James calls an evil poison. Johannes Gutenberg invented moving type in the printing press, and suddenly it was possible to mass create and mass distribute the tongue's deadly poison. But what social media has done is not just the mass distribution of one's words. Social media now means the instant mass distribution of one's words. There was a king who lived about 950 years before the birth of Jesus named Solomon. He was the third king of the Jews. He's the son of David. And he wrote a book that's filled with incredible wisdom. We have it in our Bible. It's called the Book of Proverbs. And all throughout the Book of Proverbs, there are just these wise sayings about how one should speak, about one's words. And we're going to take the entire month and we're going to look at Proverbs and then dip back a little bit into the Psalms. And we're going to ask, how would this change us if we would view these ancient texts through a social media lens? How would these ancient bits of wisdom be relevant to us if we looked at them from the perspective of the way we use social media to distribute our words? And I think as we do that, I think you're going to be shocked at how relevant a 3,000-year-old manuscript is to today's digital world. We're going to begin today in Proverbs chapter 18. So you can turn there, click there, or I'll have the scriptures on the screen behind me. I think Proverbs 18 verse 1 is just a great description of a lot of what I see on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the like. An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. You know anybody like that on Facebook? Just starts quarrels. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. That describes a lot of social media for me. We actually have a word for people who do that, who don't want to look for understanding on social media, but rather just want to, without thought, air their own opinions. We call them trolls because they cast the bait out there hoping that someone will rise to take the bait so they then can engage them in some long 280-character per tweet battle. They don't want to make a difference. They just want to make a point. And I think Solomon would say that wise words are different. Wise words are different than a lot of what we see on social media. Look at verse 4. Solomon said, "The words of the mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream." I love that he uses water as his metaphor here because there's something very life-giving about water. There's something life-giving about wise words. Back in August, our young adult small group ministry, they're called Thrive, and they're several small groups that network together. They went on a camping trip up near Clare to a place called Garver Gulch. Garver Gulch is a deer camp that's owned by the family of one of our members, Dwayne Garver. It's a pretty cool place, really. It's set off back down a lane off the road. You can't really see the road from back in the gulch. And it's a beautiful place, especially this time of year when the leaves begin to change. But my favorite part of Garver Gulch is off to one side, there's a galvanized pipe that's just been shoved in the ground. It comes up out of the ground, I don't know, maybe this high or so, and then it makes a right angle. And all the time, 24/7, there's a perpetual stream of water coming out of this pipe. Because it's been driven down in the ground into an artesian well, a spring that just bubbles up out of the ground. And I'm telling you, this is some of the best water I've ever drank. It's clear, it's cold, it's pure, it's refreshing. And Solomon says that's what wise words are like. They're a fountain of wisdom. They're a rushing stream. And you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, that should be what your posts are like. Full of wisdom, a fountain of life, a rushing stream. Instead, too often, what we encounter on Facebook and on Twitter and Snapchat and social media, what we encounter instead is what Solomon wrote about here in verse 6. Solomon says, "The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating." Now listen, I've been on Facebook a long time, long enough to invite a few beatings. I've posted some things that I look back on and I cringe and I think, man, what were you thinking? But I'm smart enough to know that you get smacked around once or twice, you stop doing that, right? My big issue personally with Facebook isn't that I post something that invites a beating or that I post something on Twitter that, you know, gives me a good smack. My big issue on social media now is when I'm scrolling along and I see something that someone's written and I'm like, are you kidding me? Absolute nonsense. And what I really should do, what should I do? I just keep right on scrolling, right? But what do I do? It's like stopping to look at the train wreck. I can't look away. And I instantly get the thumbs out and I start thumbing the reply, right? And then because I've, you know, been smacked around once or twice, I delete the reply and then I move on. But that's what we do. We can't scroll past. You know, the lips of fools bring them strife. Their mouths invite a beating. And look at what Solomon says is the result for people like that. Verse 7, the mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. Again, we're looking at Proverbs through the lens of social media. So every time you see a word like lips or words or tongue, just kind of in your own mind, insert the word post. The post of fools are their undoing, and their tweets are a snare to their very lives. Did I say that a 3,000-year-old scroll had some relevant advice for us today? Look at what Solomon says about how people ensnare their lives. Verse 8, the words of a gossip, the post of a gossip, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. We have a phrase for that kind of gossip, don't we? I mean, the best kind of gossip. The really good gossip we call juicy gossip. You probably thought that that's a phrase that's contemporary. No, Solomon was writing about it 3,000 years ago. He doesn't call it juicy gossip. He calls it choice morsels. And he says they go down into the inmost parts. In other words, you are what you eat. And in this context, you become what you consume. And if the sort of thing that you're consuming on social media is negative, if it's gossip, if it's vile, you eventually become that. And it leads to your undoing. But even if that's not you, Even if you're not a person who gossips on social media, you're not a person who likes stuff inappropriately, you're not a person, you're able to move past the crazy stuff that you see on social media instead of obsessing about it. Even if that's not you, I suspect that there is another more subtle and in some ways more insidious danger to social media that Solomon writes about in verse 9. Solomon wrote, "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." You see, slacker is not a new term. It's 3,000 years old. And there's something about social media, for a lot of us, that really plays to the laziest part of who we are. True or false? If this statement is true for you, raise your hand. The people in first service, not many of them raised their hands, so either they're way more holy than me, which is entirely possible, or they weren't awake. But here is the question, true or false, if this is true, raise your hand. There are times when you log on to social media simply because you want to mentally check out, take a break, be done with life, and be able to do something for a little while without thinking. True or false? True? Yeah, see? Maybe they're more holy than you, too. I don't know. That's true for me. There are times where I just want to escape. And listen, it is okay to decompress, right? It's okay to take a little vacation. But the danger in social media is that we spend so much time there that we become slackers. Social media now is now the number two time waster in America. You know what number one is? TV. How many of you watch TV and surf social media at the same time? I'm just saying. It's easy to become a slacker. There's so much that's powerful about social media, so much that's good about it, but there's so many dangers. But this is the one I want to land on. This is where I want us just to drill down for just a few moments. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Solomon said, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Again, we're looking at Proverbs through the lens of social media. So we kind of mentally, this is how words are distributed in our contemporary culture. Social media has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Does the tongue really have the power of life and death? Does it really? Does the tongue have the power of life and death? It did for a young man named Felix. Felix took his own life after being bullied online. I want us to watch just a 3-minute video this morning of Felix's mom talking about what happened to her son. There's also a young woman named Chloe who was cyberbullied herself and survived a suicide attempt. They're being interviewed by Great Britain's Prince William, who's begun a cyberbullying initiative to address this problem in the UK. Let's watch this video together.
As soon as I lost Felix, I knew that I had to talk. Social media was his life. His whole life revolved around it. It was the way that everyone communicated. And if you weren't on it, you were isolated. So if he was invited to a party, somebody would text saying, "You don't want to invite him, everyone hates him." And all he saw was negative. He saw himself as stupid and ugly. It just ate away at him inside, I think. But I just had no idea of the depth of his despair at all.
It's one thing when it happens in the playground and it's kind of, it's visible there and parents and teachers and other children can see it. Online, you're the only one of you sees it, and it's so personal, isn't it? It goes straight to your to your room.
Online now with social media, and you can't escape it. You're constantly with that bully. There's no escape from it.
And it's written down, so it's there to look back at time and time again. And if you are in a negative space, that's all you can see. You look for the negativity, you look for the cruel things. Yeah.
I was just in this group, and if I was to say something that agreed with a comment someone else would make, that would then be twisted and it would go on, and then people just turned against me because they were like, "Oh, she said this one thing that one time, so let's all hate her for that." And then it kind of just spiraled out of control from there, really. I started to self-harm as a way to cope, to make me feel better, and then I decided that, I couldn't take this anymore, and I tried to end my life. it was songwriting that helped me realise that my life was worth living. I started to write down how I was feeling. It was writing a suicide note that allowed me to kind of, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting the same relief from this that I am from self-harming.
So brave of you both to speak so honestly about it. I know it can't have been easy, honestly, but I can't thank you enough. And I only wish, obviously, that neither of you had gone through what you've gone through.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, thank you, but you're so, like, that's so brave, because I was in that place, and if I would have done that to my mum, you know.
I sort of feel that Felix has given me a job to do, and, you know, my job is to make sure that, you know, we try and help as many other people like him.
I think it's worth reminding everyone, you know, that, you know, what the human tragedy of what we're talking about here isn't just about companies and about online stuff. It's actually real. It's real lives that get affected.
Absolutely.
And the consequences, that's the big thing, the consequences that will happen if things are not kept in check in terms of what we say and what we do. And we are still responsible for our own actions online.
Oh,
it's not, you know, this anonymity, as you're saying, is really, really dangerous.
Can I give you both a hug?
Yes.
Very brave.
Oh, thank
honestly,
you.
Well done, you two. Honestly,
thank you
so much for your time.
The tongue has the power of life and death. All month long, we're going to put some tools in your toolbox that I think will help you navigate this new phenomena, this social media. I think we're going to give you some tools that will help you make wise choices and good decisions when it comes to what you engage in and what you post and what you respond to on social media. But I want to leave you with one principle today that I think is incredibly important. What's great about this principle is it works whether you're young or you're old. This principle can change you whether you're a Christ follower or whether you're in church for the very first time. This church will help you whether you are a digital consumer or whether you create content for online consumption. This principle will help you whether you are on one platform or whether you're just knee-deep in multiple social media platforms. Here's the principle. You ready? This is it. Your mobile phone is the most powerful device you own. You know, yeah, I heard it too. I like matches. Matches are handy. With a match, you can light a candle. With a match, you can light a forest fire. With a match, I can heat my home. With a match, I can burn down my home. Therefore, we don't let children play with matches because they're powerful. Your mobile phone is the most powerful device you own. When I had knee surgery a few years ago, the doctor gave me a medication, a powerful narcotic. He warned me to observe the dosing very carefully, not take too much, not take it for too long. I took that bottle and I put it in a safe place where my kids couldn't find it. They were younger at the time, where people who visited our home couldn't find it. Because that medication, incredibly powerful medication, if used correctly, would help me be able to rehab my knee more quickly by controlling the pain. But if used incorrectly, could lead to addiction. It's that powerful. Your mobile device is the most powerful object you own. We're a hunting family. We own firearms. But if you came to our home, you wouldn't know that we have firearms because they're behind a closed door in a basement, locked up in a safe. Why? Because I can use that firearm to feed my family, or I can use that firearm to destroy a family. It's incredibly powerful, and so I keep it under lock and key. Your mobile phone is the most powerful device you own. You don't let your kid get a driver's license until she's 16 because you understand that a car, while necessary to get to and from band practice and dance recital, is incredibly powerful and can do great damage. So you make her wait until she's 16 to drive. Her mobile phone is the most powerful device that she owns. And so, my friends, you and I need to treat it that way. Let's pray together. Father, help us to understand the impact of our words. I think we do, because we've all been impacted by words, powerful words. Powerful words of life in some instances, and powerful words that hurt and cut and have left scars in other instances. And what's different about social media now, Lord, is that our words can have instant, widespread distribution. So they're not just powerful, but they're lightning fast. Lord, help us to understand that. God, when we encounter some post and we're tempted to thumb out a thoughtless response, remind us that our mobile device is the most powerful object we own. Lord, when we're tempted to post some sarcastic, cutting remark, remind us that it's not just we for whom we speak, but we speak for you. If we're Christ's followers, Lord, remind us that we're your ambassadors. We don't speak our own words. We speak the words of our sovereign. Help us to remember that our mobile phones are the most powerful devices that we own. Help us to act accordingly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to share together in a time of communion this morning. And maybe there's something you just need to talk to God about and say, God, just in the last week, I've blown it on social media. God, I've said something I shouldn't have said. Or maybe it's, God, I spent so much time on social media that I didn't get my homework done, or that I neglected my kids, or that my relationship with my spouse is less than it ought to be just because I'm stuck in a screen. This is a good time for you to reflect on, you know, kind of where you're at. But it's also a good time for you to celebrate the forgiveness that we have in Jesus, because we're reminded that Christ takes our sins and takes them to the cross, and so we can be forgiven. And this meal which we eat is a reminder of that. We eat some bread that reminds us of Jesus' broken body. We drink some juice that reminds us of his spilled blood. And together we celebrate the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. If you're here for the first time today, the way we do this is Wally and our team will lead us in a couple of songs, and you'll have the opportunity to get up and walk throughout the room. There are five tables with crimson tablecloths where you can just stop and reflect and remember what Jesus has done for you. And afterward, if you'd love to talk to somebody about maybe something you've heard today or something that has touched you, we're available. You can find someone in a blue lanyard, a staff person, someone from our prayer team. We'd just love to talk with you about what's going on in your life and how we can pray for you. So let's stand together and let's sing. And as we do, come and receive this gift.